Is death the end of your future? Most people don't want to think about death because, well, if we don't think about it, it won't happen. But it will. What about you? Are you planning anything beyond your death? You could have a great future ahead of you, even beyond the grave. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Is there hope beyond the grave? Today we're joined here in our studio by a regular on the program, a minister in the United Church of God and senior writer for the Good News Magazine, Jerry Oss. Jerry, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Gary. It's good to be here with you.
You know, I guess death isn't necessarily a popular subject. All of us have questions about what happens to us after death. We try to sort of shove those questions away. The Bible says that it is given once for a human being to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, that's, of course, very ominous, very frightening. We might not want to think about it, but the truth is all of us will someday face our own deaths.
Inevitable. Yeah. You remember, Gary, the song sung by Hank Williams, where he sang, "I want to live fast, love hard, and die young, and leave a beautiful memory."
Oh, yeah.
It's almost a contradiction in terms. Well, it really characterizes, in my mind at least, the attitude of our society today, and perhaps societies, you know, around the world and since time began. Many people live for the present only. I know you know that. And they have no thought for the future. Of course, they eventually get old and they die just like all the rest of us. But there's simply no stopping this process. But even if you think about those lyrics, you got to ask, how in the world can you leave a beautiful memory if you live fast, loved hard, and died young? To me, it makes no sense at all.
You know, I think most people in our Judeo-Christian society believe that when a person dies, he or she goes to heaven or hell.
Oh, my, yeah. That's so true. I think the bulk of Christians believe that today. People have been taught to believe that at death, you either go to heaven or to hell. I'm sure you've heard that all your life. Now, the Catholic Church does believe, you can check the Catholic Encyclopedia out, and there are stops along the way for those going to heaven. But we won't go there now.
That's purgatory, right?
That's it. Purgatory, okay. Limbus Infantium, depends on who died. And I remember my thoughts when my father died prematurely. The preacher said that he was a good man and he probably went to heaven. Well, I spent the next couple of months walking around town and maybe even into a year trying to talk to my dad in heaven. It wasn't anything big, just something like, "Dad, I'm told you're up in heaven, so if you can hear me, let me say that I still love you and wish you were here with us." You know, death can be a fearful thing. As a young boy, I was very fearful of it, especially since it's clouded with so much speculation.
You know, not just Christians, when you look at Buddhists and Muslims and even Hindus to a certain degree, they believe in some kind of afterlife, although Hindus have people going through different reincarnations. But most of the major religions believe in some kind of afterlife. And most Christians, of course, believe in the heaven or hell concept. And so these religions have something in common.
They do indeed. You know, most of the major religions say that hell is like a place for the damned or for those who did too many things wrong in this life. I don't know who's keeping track of these things, but anyway, that's kind of the thing, the way it goes. Ministers sometimes try to keep their members in line by, if you don't mind me saying this, scaring the hell out of them, so to speak. If they don't go to church on Sunday, for example, but spend that day on the golf course, well, then they shouldn't expect to go to heaven. That's kind of the thought that's behind that. Of course, the golfer says that he's thinking of God on the links. So who's right? Or is this whole heaven and hell thing wrong? The good news is that there is hope beyond the grave.
Now, you were talking about the good news. Let's just take a minute and talk about the bad news, okay? Biblically speaking, Is there eternal judgment? We're talking about, of course, the concept of hell, but is there eternal judgment for the wicked?
No, there is not eternal judgment in the sense of eternal punishing. You've got one opportunity to be judged. There is no such thing that you can find in the Bible where there is ongoing eternal punishing. There is a punishment in the sense that those who have known the truth, given it up, committed the unpardonable sin, became what is known as the incorrigible, are burned up in the lake of fire. But that's even a mercy dispatching by Christ.
But there is a punishment. In other words,
correct.
God does pass a judgment, and there are those who actually receive an eternal punishment, and that they are put into a lake of fire, right? So there is a hell in that sense.
Yes, there is a hell, and they call that sort of the hell fire, I guess. Uh-huh. If you were to go to the New Testament, you could find Gehenna fire. And when you find that, that's talking about an everlasting punishment in the sense that they're burned up and they're no longer alive and will never come back and they're just dispatched forever. And that, again, is a mercy thing. But there is, if you do it wrong, if you know what's right, and I emphasize that, then, and you turn around and do the wrong thing, then eventually you will suffer eternal, which is the eternal's punishment, which is the lake of fire. So that can happen, and it does happen.
Okay, but that
will happen.
That's the negative. So we want to talk about more about hope beyond the grave right after this break.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been discussing what lies beyond the grave, and we're talking about hope here today, the hope beyond the grave. And we're talking with Jerry Oss. Jerry, what does the Bible say about life beyond the grave, beyond death?
The Bible has a great deal to say about life beyond death. There are so many places in the Bible that speaks of this, and I think what hurts is that most people don't really realize these things. If they did, they'd have no fear of death in the sense that most people would think about it. But there's a great deal of hope, and the whole plan of God revolves around, really, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ has been resurrected, and there's ample proof of that in the Scripture, and many personal testimonies from the apostles and so on, and if that is true, and I believe, of course, that it is, and I think most Christians do believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected, then the Bible is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 through the Apostle Paul, who says very clearly that since Jesus Christ is resurrected on one hand, then all of the rest of humanity in God's good time will be resurrected. That is a great deal of hope, and human beings can hold on to that hope. That is an absolute guarantee. If Christ is not alive in heaven above,
then there's no
we
hope.
Have no hope.
There's nothing. But okay, but that is a little different than the belief many people have that you die and immediately go to heaven.
That's correct.
Okay, see, what you're saying is that when a person dies, they don't immediately go to heaven, but they await this resurrection.
They do indeed. It depends on which resurrection you're talking about. Frankly, the Bible talks about resurrection singular, but in a couple of different stages. Actually, in three stages, but since we're dealing with hope, we'll deal with just two of the resurrections. First one has to do with the resurrection that comes when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And the Bible, again, is clear. There are certainly some references in the Old Testament, no question about that, and many in the New. And a lot of Christians know this, they know that at the return of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a shout of the great archangel. At the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, if you follow that through in the New Testament and have it supported by the Old Testament, you'll find beyond a shadow of a doubt, in my mind at least, and I hope in others and our listeners as well, that it is heavily supported that those who know Christ, who are called by the Father, who respond to His call, who repent of themselves, who look in faith toward God and the promises He's made, the blood of Christ covers, or Jesus covers their sins, and then they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the laying on of hands, and they live a life here on this earth as Jesus lived it, then when they die, they are then dying in Christ. Those, and only those, will come up in the first resurrection. The first time that human beings on any scale at all are going to be resurrected. And frankly, that ties in with the New Testament church.
Well, in Revelation 20, this is what Paul actually calls the first resurrection. John actually calls the first resurrection.
Precisely. That's in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. That is that first resurrection. He also mentions in there another resurrection.
Right.
And that really is more of a segue or a transition to the second resurrection, which is going to take place after the thousand-year period. When Christ returns, there'll be a first resurrection, or a resurrection the first time, for those who are dead in Christ. But there will be billions of people still alive at the beginning of the thousand-year period where Jesus Christ reigns, and there will be successive generations for 1,000 years. This earth will be repopulated. Mm-hmm. It'll become a veritable Garden of Eden, no question. But at the end of the thousand-year period, Satan will be released. You'll find that in Revelation 20. And at that small season, after that's finished, then all people who lived before but never knew the truth and were never baptized and never received the gift of the Holy Spirit and didn't know the importance of God's spiritual law, those individuals are going to be resurrected into a physical existence. That's your second resurrection, and it'll be a phenomenal, great resurrection.
Well, let's change direction just a little bit here. Why? Where can we go to the Bible to begin to understand the real meaning of life and, you know, death, the cessation of life that happens?
Well, I'd like everyone to know about 1 Corinthians 15, and that's what I would affectionately call the resurrection chapter. Let me read from verse 50 on a little bit. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now, you can find this in 1 Corinthians 15. You can find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can find it in Matthew chapter 24, 25, and the gospel accounts. There are many references that show that people first are human beings, and then they're eventually to be spirit beings of divine essence, sons of God, raised to immortality.
Okay, now some people believe that when a person dies, his or her spirit goes to heaven, and then what the resurrection is that spirit being put back into a body. Now, is that really what the Bible teaches?
Let me see if I get this right. Are you saying that they... We're not talking about an immortal soul here.
Well, and that's, I think a lot of people believe that this immortal soul goes to heaven.
Correct.
And it is with God, it is conscious with God. But then that immortal soul at the resurrection is given a body. And so, you know, that's a commonly held belief. Is that what the Bible says?
No, the Bible says definitely beyond a doubt, I don't want to get into the Hebrew back here in Genesis about living nephesh and how human beings are living souls and living nephesh, but they are breathing, thinking, cognitive people. We know that. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it tells us that when a human being dies, his spirit ascends above, which, of course, if you tie that into Revelation chapter 6, you will find that Christ reveals, as the revelator, that there are spirits, as it were, talking about, they're not alive at the time, but their previous prayers that are stored up there, that these spirits are actually in heaven. That is to say, their thoughts that have been on hold. It's like putting it on reserve. They are not immortal. When a person dies, he stays dead. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says the dead are dead. They are not living. In fact, I think in verse, if I'm not mistaken, verse 4 or verse 5, it says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, why would he say that? The reason he says that is because life is where it's at. So when you're dead, you're dead. Job himself in Job 14 said that he would go to the grave. And when he'd go to the grave, he would wait there until his change. From that word change, you've got to go forward to 1 Corinthians 15 and find out how Paul explains that great change that's going to come. So when a person dies, his body is in the grave, his spirit goes to God, but he is not a living being.
This would make sense then with the comments in the New Testament where it refers to death as sleep.
Correct. That's a good point.
Because then they were looking at how the... when a person dies, their spirit is asleep.
That's right.
And it's awaiting the resurrection. Okay, we're going to talk more about the resurrection, but first we need to tell everyone about today's free literature, and we'll be right back with more hope beyond the grave.
Why does modern Christianity teach that you have an immortal soul that has eternally existed when Jesus taught the opposite, that you don't have an eternal soul and can be dead forever? Find out the astonishing true teachings about life after death in our free 64-page booklet, What Happens After Death. Call 1-800-966-9232. Most of Christianity says you will go to either heaven or hell, while Jesus never said any such thing. Call now 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet, What Happens After Death. See the hundreds of scriptures never quoted by most religions today. They reveal a picture unlike what most have come to believe about life after death. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy of What Happens After Death. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Once again, you can get your free copy of What Happens After Death by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Jerry, I'm going to go back to something we were talking about earlier and something that ties into it. You know, in Hebrews 2:15, there's this remarkable statement made about why Jesus Christ became flesh and blood. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think it's important. Thank you, Gary. I think I missed that a little bit earlier. Let me just read it here. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that's Jesus Christ, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of or dominion over death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus Christ frees us from not only death, but from the fear of death, once we understand it.
You know, that's a powerful statement. I mean, all human beings fear death. No matter how much faith you have, none of us want to die. But to be released from the terror of death, that's a remarkable statement.
Oh, I think it's just so incredible. I remember the first time I thought about that, and I came to understand that, and I thought, wow, you mean you can actually go forward in the future and not worry about dying? Because that is a preoccupying thought in a lot of people's lives. And, you know, they're interested not just in their own life, but the lives of their parents, their brothers, sisters, whomever might have died early, prematurely, and someone that they love dearly. And that is really a captivating thing, you know, something that holds us and preoccupies us, steals us, takes from us our energy in life, where we can contribute to others and we can actually be preoccupied with death. That's a terrible thing. But God gives us that great hope.
Now, in First Corinthians, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 15 earlier, which is known as the resurrection chapter. And it's interesting there because it talks about how we have a natural body, but in that resurrection, it's a different body, isn't it?
It is indeed. You know, the resurrection of the dead is God's answer, of course, to the power of the grave and death. It talks in another spot, I think later on, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about the victory. Mm-hmm. This is that victory. The hope beyond the grave is the great victory. Christ, of course, being raised from the dead. Resurrection actually means to be raised up, and that's precisely what God has promised for thousands of years. That's not something new in our generation. There's the first resurrection, as I mentioned earlier, for the Christ's faithful disciples. And the second resurrection happens 1,000 years later. When I came to understand those two resurrections, I realized I didn't have to worry about my father. Didn't have to worry about my brother who died prematurely at age 44, 46. I'm going to see them again. Boy, that really spurs me on because I want to make sure that I make that first resurrection. There is a difference. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that if we have hope only in this life, that if everything begins and ends in this life, and there's nothing beyond that. Kind of like that Hank Williams song, we are pathetic. Now, Paul didn't use Hank Williams. He didn't know Hank Williams. But he says we're, in essence, pathetic. Since Christ has risen from the dead, we will all be raised from the dead. And that's the hope. That is the hope that takes us beyond that grave.
So you're saying that there's going to come a time when Paul can know Hank Williams?
Precisely. I don't know if he'll sing with him, but he'll probably enjoy some of the tunes.
You know, everybody looks at the Bible, and there's so many different ideas, and there's so many different concepts that come out of it. How can a person find his or her way out of this maze of religious ideas and find out what the Bible really teaches about our future and what happens after death?
You know, one of the first things I would recommend, I know it's one of the first things I ever did. I didn't have anyone around me to help me and guide and direct me. I was all by myself, as it were, 3,000 miles from home. I found this out, and I realized the only thing I could do was pray about it. I would say, number one, whether anyone gets what we're trying to say out of this or not, showing the great hope beyond the grave, if they just prayed about it and asked God to open their minds to help them to understand what they heard, that it may make some sense, and find out, for example, the booklets that you offer here. And if they'll read that, look into their Bible, find out if the Bible is true on this. And number one, pray. And, of course, to study their Bibles. I think these things work together like horse and carriage, like, you know, food and water. They just go together, and it's important that we pray to God and study His Word on the subject.
We're almost out of time, but let me ask you just one quick question here. Is Jesus Christ, when He comes to earth, is He collecting all the saints and then taking them to heaven?
No, He is collecting them, and they will be in, we got to get down to this first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. We know the third heaven is God's throne.
Right.
First heaven is this earth. We're at the bottom of the sea of air. We're sort of bottom feeders here. But we're at the bottom of this sea of air, and Christ is going to come from the third heaven to the first heaven, so we'll be raised in heaven. Circle the earth, come with Christ, go down on the Mount of Olives, and we're going to stay right here on earth. Zechariah 14, Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah 35, all of those scriptures in Amos, you name it, all of the prophecies say that Christ is coming to this earth. So here's one point I want to make, if I could, just before we leave. If someone thinks they're going to go to heaven, you better wave on the way up, because Christ is coming down to here to earth. I'm not being trying to be too facetious, because it's serious business. Right. But Christ is coming here. This is heaven on earth when he comes.
We're out of time. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gary.
If you would like to email us here on Good News Radio, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. You've been listening to the Good News radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.